Welcome to the Dauntless Grace Exchange. I'm Deidre.
And I'm Megan. And today I want to talk about one of the series that I'm doing on my Instagram page, if that is okay and not like a shameless plug of my own Instagram page. I don't know what the rules are about that. Is that a shameless plug or is that like, no, I should stand here and just like point to it all the time?
You should totally plug it all the time. Shameless is good though, isn't it? If you're shamelessly doing something, that's a good thing.
Right. So definitely not shame filled plug or a shameless plug. Like there should be no shame just in the equation whatsoever at all. Like don't even talk about it.
It's just a matter of fact reference point. I love this. So if people have not already followed at Enneagram Megan on Instagram, you should. But for sure, the series, because it'll be a great visual to go along. I'm a visual learner. I like to read things as I say them, and I like to see them as I hear them. So that's helpful to me. So go put us on pause, grab your Enneagram account, and follow along with the graphics. We're going to kind of talk about
Instagram account.
Instagram account. The Facebooks.
And while okay, boomer.
While we're on it, it is always just the Enneagram. They're not plural. There are 9 types. But they're not the Enneagrams. Although I guess it would kind of make sense if you're discussing it in a certain reference point, kind of like Culls de Sac. You know, it's like,
no.
No, the Enneagrams of the types.
No, it would always be like the Enneagram numbers. Like you would not say the Enneagrams.
Okay, that's good to know. Just a good reference point. I see it. I hear it a lot, actually, from different places. And I think it's just because there's multiple types. So there's an assumption. But it's kind of like sheep and sheep. It's one or it's many, and it doesn't matter. The Enneagram is the one that has the many.
Well, yeah, I think if you think about it in terms of the actual, like the diagram of it, that is the Enneagram. It's the whole structure. It's the container that holds all 9 numbers. So if you want to talk about all of the 9 individual, you don't say right. They're all Enneagrams because the Enneagram is the whole structure. They're all types. They're all numbers. They're all core types. They're all whatever. I mean, fill in your word there, but the Enneagram itself is only the structure. There's only one of them.
Thank you for coming to our 101 lesson today. And we're kind of starting there because one of the things that triggers ones is inconsistencies. So
stress triggers. That's what we're talking about.
We're talking about stress triggers in case we hadn't told you yet.
We haven't. We're 5 minutes in and you don't know what you're getting into, except you do because you probably read the title of this somewhere when you logged in. So you're welcome.
I love your graphic for this, the signals of each type, like the signals of them in stress with that little beacon, like those ultrasonic waves, we send them out ahead of us. And if people aren't wise enough to back up, they're just going to get in the way. Maybe that's just me projecting what a one in stress looks like, but like, I'm giving you some vibes. You can take yourself out of this equation right now, or you can just stand here for the onslaught. But like we're clearly sending off some vibes that stress is a present, that it is coming for you. That's all I'm saying.
The temperature of your physical body actually rises when you get stressed. Like if you're standing next to you, all of a sudden you're like, it's getting hot in here, or your finger goes up and all of a sudden, you know, yeah, there are some physical manifestations to you gut body types, I'm sure, that don't always look that way to the rest of us.
Okay.
All right. Can I just like plug again something kind of graphically cool about this series that I was like really geeked out about?
Yeah.
Since you're talking about, you like the little signal, the little beacon thing on it.
Does it have something to do with the font color on the right side?
Yes.
I know. Tell me. This is exciting. I guessed it.
You did? Okay. So Sydney Webster was our graphic designer for a couple of years, and she's the one who kind of implemented our color palette, our fonts, our like kind of the style of what it was all going to look like. Mm-hmm. Then she got married, got busy with being a teacher, and I kind of took over for her. I'm a second-rate graphic designer in comparison. But what I really liked is the way that she has, like over the years, she had figured out like all the ones are going to have that like dark teal color, and all the twos are going to have the light teal color, and all the threes are going to have like some kind of a reddish orange, and all the fours are gonna have this golden yellow. So all of the colors align with a number based on how she just like started implementing it. So when I did this, I have them all on either black or white backgrounds, and I have the core numbers like as the big color block on each slide. Mm-hmm. But then I used as an accent color the color of the number each one goes to in stress.
And I can see that because on the one, it is that golden orangey color that is the four color palette. And that ones go to four and stress makes sense.
I think that was like a lot of nuance that everybody's like, yeah, we don't care, but I cared, darn it. And I spent a lot of time making sure that happened and that the colors went together.
I love it.
So,
It's
yeah.
the
So
devil is in the details. Wait, is that the right saying
it's
for this?
the right thing, but I don't feel like that helps my case. Okay, so let's explain what we mean by stress numbers since we're talking about it. So Enneagram 101, as you know, it's all nine types. All the types are grouped together in different ways. They're all connected in different ways. And one of the ways that all of the numbers are connected is through something called the connected points or the stress and security lines. Today, we're just going to talk about those stress lines. And what we mean by that is that we all have a core type. We know that Deidre is a one. We know that I'm a four. And we know that when we start to hit places of stress in our life, in our situation and our season, whatever it is, we start kind of falling first through like the unhealthy behaviors of our own core type. But at some point, we run out of resources. We run out, we literally would just hit the bottom of ourselves and just have nothing else. So the way the Enneagram is structured and the way I believe God wired us is to be able to draw on the energy and behaviors of these other numbers that we need to take care of ourselves. And one way we do that is to pull on what is called our stress line in times of stress. So when we do that, though, and we have no awareness that we're doing it, we're going from the bottom of our number to the bottom of our stress number and grabbing some really unhealthy behaviors from that number now. And then we find ourselves in this pattern like, why am I always angry? Why am I always this? Why am I always that? And it's one of those cycles that we talk about that we can't seem to get ourselves out of. But when we know we do it, and when we can start tracing the signals and the triggers of that, we can start making healthy choices and really take care of ourselves by picking up on some of the best behaviors of our stress number in those times of stress.
Yeah. And we confuse people sometimes because we identify that as the growth path. And they're like, no, that's not the number you go to in growth. You go to, well, and so how we use that language is a little different. It's your stress and your security line. And we're just saying that it is a step of growth to recognize that you're in stress and choose the high side of the number. So that's kind of
Right.
what where that language comes from if you see that on any of her graphics at Enneagram Megan.
Oh my gosh. All right. So I think the easiest way to explain this is just to dive in and start with like an Enneagram one and just go through the list because as we flesh these out with examples, not only will the structure of it make more sense, but then people might start to recognize their own numbers better if they can hear about their stress lines and stress behaviors.
Well, we know one of the things that are going to put us in stress is when our typical ways of managing our world through our dominant type are not working. So the reason that anger is accessible for ones is because often we're very, I know that threes focus of attention is tasks and goals, but ones really like, because we have this need to make things better, we have this need to get things done, be productive, you know, this perfectionism part, when things begin to frustrate that, we hit these blocked goals. And so we feel the frustration of that. So I would say, like, the unhealthy part of us is when resentment and anger start coming out. But when those things can't change it, then we go to the low side of four. And
Well, I would
that's.
also say that some of the low side of one is going to look a lot more critical to other people. Ones generally aren't super hypercritical of others because they're always so self-critical. But I would say in the most stressful situations, the criticism is going to go outward, right? And then like judgmental kinds of stuff, like that criticism, that judgment is going to go out onto others as more in more times of stress than normal, I
Well,
think.
and I think it's because of what I was saying about like that person is blocking my goal of making things look good or making this right. And so at first we're focused on the thing we're trying to improve about ourselves or the situation, but now you're the thing. That is why this is not working. I'm not saying it's always others reference like that, but I see that a lot in my life.
But I think that's interesting because when you are falling through the one health, like in getting to that bottom of it where it's really critical, it's really judgmental, it's like angry, resentful outward, then it also twists into feeling really defensive, which isn't a normal, I think, one mentality to feel defensive or like a victim of the circumstance in a way. That I think is where that four energy is coming into play and intertwines with you when you're in a stress season. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I'm the problem. And it gets really defensive. I'm not saying you specifically or anything like that. But I think that's part of how that four comes into play for you. And there's some other ways too, besides that defensiveness and victimization.
The first one is withdraws to process emotions alone. And I can actually see where that's a healthy thing to pull on, because if we've gotten to that point where we're being critical and resentful and angry and turning more outward, we probably do need to get by ourselves for a minute, you know, figure things out. It's the way we withdraw, though, is probably not always healthy. But the experiencing melancholy, victimization, and feeling misunderstood, I 100% resonate with that. And I think you're right, because I was just trying to fix it all. I was just trying to make it right. I was just trying to, how did I do, what did I do wrong? You know, but then it twists at the bottom of that to that fourness of it, in that unhealthy four space. You have imagines being a different person without an inner critic. That's so
I think funny. That's part of that victimization. Like, oh, why am I the one cursed with an inner critic? What if I didn't have this? What, nobody else has to live up to this voice inside their head like I do.
It's so funny that you say that, because I wouldn't have had the language of that when I was a younger person, but I remember feeling like it was unfair that I had to live up to something that I had created and other people just got away without worrying about it. I would get so angry about that when I was little. Like, why aren't they upset that they just got in trouble or flunked or got caught lying or whatever? You know, it just upset me. Why do I have to have this curse put upon me to be a good person? Like, so self-righteous.
So what happens when a one and four energy collide at the bottom right there? Why am I the only one that's trying to be good?
It is. It's funny. And the last point you have is feels resentful that others aren't fulfilling expectations.
Or living up to yours, probably.
Well, I think the living up to mine would be kind of the unhealthy one side, but the fourness of it is that the fulfilling of expectations.
Don't you and think also just, well, I think it's the, why am I the only one? Why doesn't anyone else? It's you're unique in the inner critic. You're unique in the resentment. You're unique in the fact that you're the only one trying to do it right. No one else is. That's, I think, the really big four space that a one gets to.
Yeah. But I also think I get more emotionally needy in that space, which I want someone to recognize that I am and fix it for me, because I'm always one fixing stuff. Why can't you see that I have a need here? You know, that's not fair either to do that to people, but I can see where that goes. Okay. We've spent a lot of time on ones.
I don't want to leave yet though, because even though we always spend a lot of time on ones, but I don't want to leave yet, because what is a good healthy thing then, when you're recognizing these things, when you're feeling resentful, defensive, victimized, unique in your aloneness here, what are the good ways that you can use for behavior to pull yourself out of that?
Well, I think, like your first point on there, to withdraw to process emotions alone, I think there is a healthy way to do that, to say, I can tell, you know, my defenses are up, things are getting kind of heated. I just need to pull away. I'll come back to this, so that then I can really go sort through what are my emotions and what are they being triggered with, and then choose that high side of four, which for me is giving myself permission to feel those feelings. A lot of the anger and resentment comes from the fact that I've given myself zero permission anywhere to do, right. You know. So I think giving myself permission to have that space and to feel them and name my emotions will take a lot of the sting out of them. And just maybe having it's some space for unproductive time on, you know, dreaming again, like creating, having that creative outlet.
And maybe even asking for help or connection in that space, right? Where you said, I want someone to fix it for me, which is a really unhealthy four space, but what if it's a way to collaborate or a way to connect in a new way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Those are good. We can keep talking about ones if you want. I have a whole episode about ones and stress. Like a therapy session.
And moving on to two.
All right. We don't have any twos on here to defend themselves, so this will not, this won't take as long. So twos, when they start feeling stressed, they fall to the bottom of two, which is like neediness, dependency, martyrdom, in a different way than ones. It's more like I am always pouring out for everyone else. No one's meeting my needs. Feeling it's a little bit of that same resentment, but in a way that's more like, why can't you see me? Why I see everyone? Why can't you see me? It's more about the relational part of it rather than the productivity part of things.
And that identity component there. Yeah.
Yeah. And even like maybe feeling really lost. Like, I don't even know how to ask for what I need. I don't even know how to ask for help. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I need. I don't know how to give that myself anything. So it's really getting to this almost confusion, I think, at the bottom of two, where they just don't even know themselves, right? But what they need is to go to eight, which is kind of 100% opposite on paper what a two and an eight look like, but they need that eight space in times of stress. Unfortunately, what generally happens is when twos hit that bottom, they go straight to the bad parts of eight, which are like temper, everybody get away from me, I can't ever do anything right, so just everybody leave me alone. Fine, you do it yourself then. And it's just like walls up, closed doors, slamming cabinets, whatever that might look like. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, I do think confusion was a really good word that you pulled out for when they're in the bottom of their number. And so it's like they get to a point where they don't know how, they're stuck then. They don't know how to move forward. So the eight energy is a good move on the Enneagram because it does compel them like forward toward action of some kind. But it ends up, if they go to that lower side of eight, it ends up doing the exact opposite of what they're really longing for, which is connection, belonging, you know? So now they are cutting out people. And also it's just important, like when you get to that martyrdom where, or I pour it out for everyone, well, it's probably time to set some healthy boundaries, but instead of setting a boundary, they close everybody out. So yeah, I think your first move is generally going to be, how do I say what I need when I don't know what I need and I'm confused, you know?
Right. So like I have on here that they have aggressive reactions. Mm-hmm. And I think the aggressive is that unhealthy eight space, but what they need is some assertive responses.
Yeah.
So they need to be able to self-advocate. They need to advocate. They need to be able to be assertive in how they're responding to people, but not aggressively just reacting to the situation or to the person.
Yeah.
So it's taking the best parts of two and the best parts of eight, and that's really what's going to help them. Like, I want to keep this connection, but I need to stand up for myself at the same time.
Did I skip your first one? Becomes irritable and defensive if they feel their love is ignored. I think you said that.
I didn't really say any of these, to be quite honest with you. I forgot we had like a pattern going.
Yeah.
Blaming others for their problems. And like I said, becoming confrontational, angry, controlling, things like that. All of those words that we would assign to what we think are the bad parts of eight. But all of those things, it's because the two feels lost. They feel confused. They feel like connection is being broken. They feel like they're emptied out. And so this is their last recourse.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a two-parter because we're only
at really?
So let's get through three and four and then we can finish them up on another one.
Dang. Okay.
Okay. So we said how twos would have a growth path for getting to the high side of eight. And for twos, what I would say about that real quickly before we move on is if confusion and self-doubt, like that not understanding or knowing what you want, is something that comes a lot in seasons of stress for you, maybe when you're not stressed and when you're not feeling all of those big emotions, you need to write out some responses instead of reactions that are prescripted for you, so that you're like, okay, when I feel this, I know that this is the statement I need to say to advocate for myself. So it may be good to do that work ahead of time in a non-emotional, like in that heightened state, because I think ones can say what we want because we know what right. Twos don't really know, but the emotions are all there. And so they end up getting frustrated that they can't voice that. And so that frustration is not going to go away just because you're like, oh, I should go to the high side of eight. Well, right. But how do you do that? And I think that pre-thinking some of those responses would be really good for your advocacy for yourself.
I kind of feel like it's a general statement that pre-writing and thinking of our responses and also just communicating our expectations in general in life would keep us from ever spiraling into that stress side as much as we all do.
Okay, shut up, Megan. Nobody wants to be that healthy.
Good, communicating expectations, darn it. That's my growth path.
I think that's good.
Okay. Sickness level
Please.
3. Am I talking or do you want to
Sure.
talk? All right. Threes, when they start getting stressed out, their focus of attention is already tasks and goals. So then it becomes like, I mean, overbearing, right? Like they're just going to plow down anyone to get to the finish line. It's kind of a bulldozing thing. They're just constantly striving, not letting themselves rest, not letting themselves like look away. It's almost like blinders on to every other part of life until they can get to that finish line because the stress is like propelling them to accomplish whatever it is they've got their mind set on. So it doesn't matter who they hurt along the way or if they're hurting themselves, as long as they're getting done what they need to get done. That's generally how it manifests for a three, I think.
Yeah, so like your warning signal to yourself that that's how you're coming across is when people start getting their feelings hurt from you. And you may be like, this has nothing to do with you. I don't know why you're getting your feelings hurt, but it may be a sign that you're in the low side of your own number. So
Or if your
that,
body is starting to
yeah.
like shut down on you a little bit, like it's telling you it needs sleep, it's telling you to take a rest, it's, you know, whatever that is, you're getting sick. I
Which
need.
is why it's interesting that when they move to their stress number, that's one of the first things you have on this graphic is shut down, become disengaged, apathetic. It's like they need
Right.
to stop. They haven't found a good pattern for rest. They have overworked themselves, overexhausted themselves, exerted themselves, and their body really does need rest. It's going to get what it needs. But
But it can
that.
do that in a way that is helpful for them or a way that actually hinders their ultimate goal, which is to accomplish what they started. So they need to go to nine. Nine is their stress number. They need
Yes.
what a nine has to offer, but it's going to do it in a way that either completely shuts them down, like you said, where they completely disengage from everything. And now they're not even going to finish what they started ever, whether it's good or not, because their body or their brain or their emotions just absolutely won't let them do it. Or they start to like, they know that and they don't want to appear like they're shutting down or appear lazy. So they start just like kind of looking busy without actually accomplishing. So now they're just running themselves ragged, but not actually doing anything
Yeah.
because they want to avoid the appearance of shutting down. Isolating, numbing out, losing interest in the thing that they were originally set out to do. So it's their body's way of helping them. It really is, but it's only hurting them, and it can hurt others too if they start withdrawing and shutting others out at the same time. Now all of a sudden they've taken what is like a really generally charming and charismatic energy from whatever space they're in, and they're just sucking it all out of the room so they can go like withdraw. And now that leaves a void for the people around them too, for the team that was with them or their work colleagues or their
Yeah.
family or whatever that was.
Yeah. So, what does it look like for them to choose the high side of nine?
I think it needs to look more like teamwork. Nines are good at working in groups and working in teams. I think it looks like rest, appropriate rest that's not shutting down or isolating. Pacing. Pacing that's healthy for them and for the goal.
That's good.
Right?
And, I do think that threes can hurt other people's feelings in the forward rush. We say that just when we're teaching about them, not meaning it to be about that other person at all, because they're just focused on whatever their task and goals are. Where nines are a little more, because they're looking for the agendas of others. It's not so much that they're others reference, like they're trying to please everyone, but they are those peacekeepers. They have their eye on where that is. So that could be another note for not for threes. Take a step back from the task and goal you're in a forward rush to get to, and see some of the gray that's happening right in front of you in the space and the energy of others around you.
Yeah, and just notice that other people don't have the same focus on the same goal that you do, or even if they do, they're looking at it from a different angle, and that doesn't make yours right and theirs wrong. I think threes just maybe more than any other number, except maybe eights, get like actual blinders on when they're rushing.
Yeah.
And they
And that's
just
the gift of
can't widen it.
being a nine. One of the healthy sides of that is being able to have perspective and see all the sides and stuff.
Oh, that's so good. Threes can learn perspective from that stress line.
Yeah, they can might help them take off their blinders. Yeah.
That's so good.
Well, I think we should end with four because we'll have a lot of words about this too.
So great. Yeah. Well, a four in stress is why I didn't know I was a four for a long time. Told that story before. I don't know. I feel like I just talked a lot. Do you want to say what happens when a four gets to the bottom of their stress number for or their type first.
I really don't think I want to be the one that outlines that.
I said it for you for once.
Well, you outline the bottom of your stress number, and then I can talk about the going to two.
Feels more uncovering, but okay. yeah, I mean, a four in stress is generally going to spiral down into the depths of that melancholy, and everything is gray and heavy, and it's going to feel more depressive than just a normal kind of mood swing that happens to us all day, every day. It's going to be a little bit lower and a little bit more frequently down at the bottom of it without being able to pull ourselves up to the high part of it.
I also just realized I have a cheat sheet. I could just go back and read the signals of a one in stress and say they withdraw to process emotions alone. They experience victimization, feeling misunderstood.
Definitely. I mean, yeah.
Imagine being.
I was trying not to repeat the same stuff on all of that.
I know, but as you're saying it, I'm like, oh, wait, we already covered that.
Yeah, we didn't cover that. But yeah, I would describe it as, if we know that fours are their emotions and their emotions are like a roller coaster all day long, a four in stress doesn't know how to get to the top of that roller coaster anymore. We're just kind of stuck at the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. And it's, for me, it looks like the withdrawing, the hiding. That's mm-hmm. that's where I know, like, okay, that's ding, ding, ding. Now I'm going to need to move to my two line. And I can either do that in a way that helps me or doesn't.
Well, and so it makes sense that, again, like God gave us some wisdom in what our bodies need. It makes sense that when you're so hyper-focused on what's missing and you've gotten to that stress of you can only look inward, you cannot get up from this place. There's no way to get out of this pit, you know, that it's a good move on the Enneagram to move more others referenced, as twos are more others focused, you know, because it gives you perspective then. Your perspective has less to do with blinders and more to do with like the weight of being under it, you know, or being at the bottom of it.
And it's like, so it's pulling my head down to my chest and I can only see what's inside me.
Yeah. And that two move lifts your chin up. So you've got a perspective to see like, oh, there are blue skies up there above this canyon, you know, or there are other people out there that also have needs and I'm not alone in this or whatever. So I think that that's kind of the signal and how it helps you to move to two space. But if you don't choose it, again, like with every other number, you're going to go to that low side of two. Mm-hmm. Well, the low side of your stress number, which for you is two. So that is a little more of the codependent tendencies. Like you defend hurt feelings by withdrawing. You might become clingy to win affection, or just to not be left alone to deal with it. You manipulate and create dependence through helping or favors, which again is that kind of low side of a two, even though it's a beautiful thing to serve others, but it's that pull underneath that we call manipulation, becomes possessive in order to feel secure in relationships. So those are all really good signs that you have fallen through your own number. You're in the low side of this stress number.
And I would say, I just want to point out, like, defends hurt feelings by withdrawing. I wish I had nuanced that out a little bit more on this graphic, because I think the withdrawing part is the part I do in my four space. And I think what I'm doing when I move to the two space is I'm withdrawing in the hope that someone will come find me. It's a withdrawal with a manipulation attached. It's a withdrawing with a pull attached to it.
Yeah. And so it goes to that, you're going to have that push pull in being a four anyway, but some of it's because you're like going toward the two and kind of being pulled back between the authenticity and the like need for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So what does it look like to pick the high side of two for you?
Well, I think the perspective thing of just lifting my chin up and realizing that I'm not the only one with problems or the only one with emotions in the world is helpful. And choosing to do something for others, even if the motivation doesn't feel like all that selfless, the motivation is to get myself out of whatever pit I feel in, it's still picking my head up to go, what does someone else, can I listen to someone else's problems? It actually helps me not think about my own for a while. Can I go have a conversation that's not about me or what I'm feeling right now? Can I not have to express everything that's happening in my own soul at the moment and lose myself in somebody else's whatever it is? And so just getting my eyes off of my own self and into someone else usually is a really big help on that.
That's good. And that's the beauty of what twos bring to the world. They are more altruistic in that place where they do serve without a string attached, you know, and they do
well, I think that's
what others needs.
I think that's the other thing too, is like, asking, like communicating an expectation, asking for a connection that doesn't have a manipulation attached to it. Like it's actually communicating a need then to go, hey, I don't know how to sort through this. Can you help me? As opposed to what can I do for you so that you'll come help me in return, right? Which is that bottom side of two. The good side of two is they want connection. They want to be with people. So just grabbing on a connection that is like pure,
Yeah, that's
I
good.
think.
We have so much more to say, and we still have a lot more in the
Yeah.
world. So stay tuned for next week and part two, because we have a lot more to say about all of these types.
And that wraps up another episode of the Dauntless Grace Exchange. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app and leave a review so other people can find us.
You can follow us on social media to stay connected. We're on Instagram at Dauntless Grace Ministries, and our Facebook page is Dauntless Grace.
For more about the Enneagram, visit our website at dauntlessgrace.org for coaching and training opportunities. And you can follow me at Enneagram Megan on Instagram.
And be sure to check out our website for more information about today's podcast. Plus, you can click the resources tab to find books by all the authors we've spoken to or about. And you can find it at dauntlessgrace.org.